Woman Staff Recording. You are now being transferred to Rogers to exit. Hang up.
So, Belineda, first of all, our limud of Hilchas Chofetz Chaim, Hilchas Loshon Hara, now we're learning Hilchas Rechilos, is all the schus refuah of Yosef Dov Ben Chayla, Yishtav Refuah Shleim, V'korah Pesach Shechal Yisrael. So, we'll return Belineda, maybe tomorrow, to the Shaila about the lady who... tomorrow, Belineda, we're at this end today because they're working there. We'll return tomorrow, Belineda, to the Shaila about the urn and the milk and the lady who poured the water from the urn direct into the milk on Shabbos, because Geshendon is going to speak about that on the halachic side in the Deir Shoshir. So once we've heard that, then we can go back to the Loshon Hara aspect of it from that. But back to the story about the Rebbe who got a teacher here, about the Rebbe or the teacher who had honey smeared all over his chair, and he wants to know which boy did it. So we asked the Kasha, we discussed various aspects of it, but the Kasha we were in the middle of was, is a boy allowed to lie? Is it mutter to say, I'm not allowed to speak Rechilus, therefore I can't tell you who the pupil is who did it? And when the Rebbe asks him, he says, I don't know. And the truth is, he does know, but he's lying in order to avoid Rechilus. That was our Shaila. So we brought a Raya from, it's a Gemara in Yevamos Daf Pehe, I think it is, or Samach Hei, I can't remember. A Gemara which speaks about Avram Avinu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Meshanim Pnei HaSholem. When the Malachim told Sora that she was going to have a child, she said, I'm already shriveled, I'm wrinkled. And my husband is ancient. And that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu what Sarah had said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu left out the Vardoini Zokain. He only mentioned that Sarah said that she wasn't able. So exactly how we learn the halacha depends on how you learn the pshat in that posuk. When Sarah said, "Acharei v'loisi hoisa li edno," that after I am withered, after I'm wrinkled, after I'm past post-menopause, can I have children? Was that a kasha or was that a statement? Why? Because the Gemara says that on that day, Pirson Nido, that on that day when she was 89 years old, and at that day she became young again. Her skin became supple again, and she was Pirson Nido. She became capable. In that case, it's a statement. She said, "Bekirbot leimor, acharei v'loisi oisol lihedno, I have become young again, therefore I can have a baby. I can have a baby, but the problem is, but my husband is past it. That's my problem." If the Rebbe Shem would have told that to Avraham Avinu, that's a bit of an insult. Kaviyachal, your wife is young, and she's capable now, she's become, the Rebbe Shem has made a miracle for her, but you are too old to have a baby, she is saying that my husband is past it. That would be, if you like, Loshon Hara. Avraham Avinu would be upset with that. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Memshane Mipnei HaSholei. But if you learn it as a kasha, and she was saying, Acharei v'loisi hoiso lihedno, can I then become young again after I'm already past it? V'adoin yizokin, and my husband is also, there wouldn't really be a Loshon Hara in that. I mean, there's nothing for Avraham Avinu to get upset. Well, she's saying, effectively, we are an elderly couple, and we can no longer have children, and therefore, both of us are in the same boat. So therefore, the Mefoshim learned that the Pshat probably is the form of Pshat. When the Gemara learns out from there that you can be Meshaneh Pnei HaSholeim, is that she was saying, a miracle has already occurred to me. I have become young. I can have a child, but my husband can't. And therefore, that would have been something that would have upset Avraham Avinu if he'd heard that. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Meshaneh Pnei HaSholeim. In that case, Pnei HaSholeim, says the Chofetz Chaim, if the boy doesn't want to tell the teacher who did it, Mishum Rechilus, and he can't get out of it, then he's allowed to be Mishana Mipdei HaSholeim. He's allowed to say to the teacher, I don't know who did it, even though he does. And there are Kohenu V'Cheinu, many examples, Yaakov Avinu when he went in to get the Brochos, and other examples in Chazal and in Tanakh, where you find that people told a white, what we call a white lie, that they were allowed mipnei ha-shalom or mipnei darkei shalom or mipnei whatever it is that to bring shalom ben ish l'ishtoi or to avoid sinah, that people told white lies, and providing it in the right context, it's mutar.
Started at Elterway, Northwest London, Monday, Chess Hov, 12th of August, Rabbi Jeremy Golka, Shlita, Home Sweet Home. This week's Torah was sponsored by Zipra, Nishmah, the time, Yosef, Ben Yisrael, the theater will be next Shabbos, the assist, and Shabbos, the Chayolim, the Yotamon, Shachsul, the Motel, the Shalom, the Meiro.
Okay, good morning. Good morning. Nice to be back here in El Moshe. So tonight and tomorrow is Tisha B'Av. I want to, of course, talk about that and make a connection between Sefer Devarim and Tisha B'Av, and I think an important take home, an important message that emerges that I think will be practical in terms of how we go into Tisha B'Av. The Chizkuni makes a very interesting point in the beginning of Parshas Re'eh. Yesterday, 3 days ago, we lay in Parshas Devarim, and the first three sedras, says the Chizkuni, Parshas Devarim, Vayeschanon, and Ekev, are really a sort of a preamble, an introduction to Sefer Devarim, because, says the Chizkuni, in Parshas Re'eh, when it says, Re'eh onoichim noisein efneichem hayoim brocho, klala, etc., asher noichim metzave eschem hayoim, ad kan hichichom al yira shamayim. The first three parshas was just talking about Yirah Shemayim, Mikan ve'elech maschil l'sad l'fnehem es ha-mitzvahs. And from then on, he's actually going to repeat many of the mitzvahs, Mishnah Torah, clarifying, adding to the 613 mitzvahs that are part of the body of Torah. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu begins his 40-day speech, which is really Sefer Devarim, and he warns Klal Yisrael to remain loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he speaks to Klal Yisrael about Yerushalayim and later about the mitzvahs. Therefore, Parshas Devarim, Vayeschanon, and Ekev are setting out the mission statement of Klal Yisrael. Now, mission statements are very important. Mission statements are essentially every good company, every institution, every school should have a mission statement. What are your objectives? What are you trying to achieve? Let me elucidate this a little bit more by way of the following anecdote. There's a fellow called Tony Little. He was the headmaster of Eton College, one of the most famous colleges, universities, schools here in the United Kingdom. And he is one of the most progressive and imaginative people in British education. And he shares the following anecdote in his book, which is a very interesting book on education. He says the following. In 1744, nearly 300 years ago, the University of Virginia offered to sponsor the education of 6 native Indians. The chief of the native Indians thanked the university for their generous and well-intended offer, but they politely declined it. And this is what the chief of the Indians said. We have some experience of your education. Several of our young people were formerly brought up at the colleges of the northern provinces. They were instructed in all your sciences, but when they came back to us, They were bad runners. They were ignorant of every means of living in the woods, unable to bear either cold or hunger, knew neither how to build a cabin, take a deer, nor kill an enemy. They spoke our language imperfectly, and they were neither fit for hunters, warriors, or counselors. They were totally good for nothing. We are, however, not the less obligated by your kind offer, though we decline accepting it, and to show our grateful sense of it, if the people of Virginia will send us a dozen of their sons, we will take care of their education, instruct them in all we know, and make men of them. Now, what's the point of this? The point of this is that it's very important before you set out on a journey to know what your objective is, what's your mission statement, what are you trying to achieve. And that really is what happens in the first three parashas of Sefer Devarim. Moshe Rabbeinu is warning, is giving his parting message to Klal Yisrael, and he's warning them to remain loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore he speaks first about Yirat Shamayim, and then only later about mitzvahs. The mission statement is essentially encapsulated in a few words just before Matan Torah. The words are, Va'atem tiyuli mamleches kehanim v'goy kodesh. That essentially is the mission statement of Klal Yisrael. Now, it's interesting, tonight in Mis Hashem will lein Eicha. Eicha, the Mepharshim say, can also be read Ayeka, the same letters. Ayeka is the immortal question that was asked of Adam HaRishon. And therefore, Tisha B'Av is not only a day of Avelus, but it's a day of Tshuva. It's a day of introspection. It's a day to evaluate where we are going and where we want to go. Where are we up? Are we living up to the mission statement that is really Va'atem Tiyuniyum Mamleches Kohanim V'Goy Kodesh? It's interesting. This concept of Goy Kodesh, the Michtam Eliyahu says something very beautiful. You take a look at the fifth box, paragraph 5. He says there, in Chelek Aleph, page 22, Hine ha-mitzvah ha-ikaris hi Kiddush Hashem. The essential mitzvah is Kiddush Hashem. Ki hi koileles hakol. Because if you think about it, Kiddush Hashem encapsulates everything. Kol ha-mitzvahs v'chol inyone avidas Hashem toichnom hu Kiddush Hashem. That is what it's all about. I'll tell you something, I'll read you something interesting. We've got here building work going on. I'll read you an anecdote about some very holy electricians. Listen to this. True story. In a city in Eretz Yisrael, a group of people decided to expose certain electricians who were dishonestly inflating their prices at the expense of unsuspecting customers. They secretly wired a home with hidden cameras and instructed the woman of the house to plug a sabotaged appliance into an electrical outlet, thereby short-circuiting the entire electrical system of the house. She then called several electricians to fix the problem. The first two electricians did not even bother inspecting the house, instead announcing that the entire system would have to be rewired to the tune of thousands and thousands of shekels. But the third electrician, a religious Jew, carefully inspected the house, discovered that the appliance was the source of the problem, and quickly repaired it, and charged a mere 120 shekel for his services. In front of all three electricians, the instigators of the scheme emerged from their hiding place and confronted the fraud of the first two electricians, demanding an explanation for their outrageous quotes. The electricians tried to deny that they had quoted such prices, but to no avail, because they'd been caught on camera. Then the men turned to the frum electrician and asked him why he had not inflated his price as his colleagues had done. Thunderstruck, the electrician replied simply, Hashem is watching me, and he will know if I lie. Besides, my parnasa is decreed on Rosh Hashanah, and I cannot change it by being dishonest. In Oleinu L'Shabech, in Reb Zilberstein Sefer, he writes, he tells this story, and he says an interesting postscript. He writes that a prominent Kira professional related when the story was made public, the frum electrician's integrity was enough to move an entire family with whom he'd been working for months with little success to become religious. That really is what the Michtav Melio is referring to. Va'atem tiyuli mamleches kehanim v'goy kodesh. the Bistrol Reisman, he was here in London like a week or two ago, he writes something very interesting along the same lines. Listen to this. This is from a book called I've Got at Home, The Ethical Imperative. He writes the following. It's essays by different well-known rabbonim. He writes the following. When we hear of a shameful incident in our own ranks, we must deal with it as a symptom, not as the disease. Our primary concern should be with developing a stronger sense of the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam in our lives. If we were to succeed in this, we would subsequently find him accompanying us when we step outside as well. The points can be made clear with a mashal drawn from my own experience, where Reisman writes. As an American boy, I enjoy getting behind the wheel of a car. Once there, my aggressive, hurried style often gets the better of me and puts me in a position where my actions may, God forbid, cause unpleasant things to be said about Orthodox Jews. I don't condone this, and I accept criticism of my behavior, which my wife is often kind enough to provide. In my Beis HaMedrash days, I had the zechus of attending Rav Moshe Feinstein's Friday Shiurim at Masifta Tiferes Yerushalayim for almost 2 years. Very often, my chaverim and I had the opportunity to drive Rav Moshe from the yeshiva to his home on FDR Drive. I can assure you that when Rav Moshe was in my car, my wife would have loved my driving. There was no danger of Chil Hashem. Why? Because Rav Moshe was looking. Ask yourselves, how would you drive if Rav Moshe were looking? How would you talk to others if Rav Moshe were listening? And how would you conduct your business affairs if Rav Moshe were in the office? We must learn to take a step further and ask ourselves, how do we drive when the Ribbono Shel Olam is looking? How do we talk when he is listening? And how do we conduct our business dealings with him in the office? That really goes to the core of Sefer Devarim, because Sefer Devarim is exhorting Klal Yisrael to be Yireim and Shleimim, to have Yerushalayim, to live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu very much in our lives. The Rabbeinu Bachai, if you look at the bottom box, he says, V'lo yisachallu eshem kodshi, v'nigdashti b'seich b'nei Yisrael, mi'ashem mekadshchem. Says Rabbeinu Bachai, Chilul Hashem hu oven chomo b'yaseh. Chilul Hashem is the greatest aveira. Umotzinu sheviter, sorry, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, al avodah zarah v'lo viter chilul Hashem. Hakadosh Baruch Hu can overlook avodah zarah, but he won't overlook chilul Hashem. Va'omnom, motzinu takana la'oven chilul Hashem. We find a possible takana. What is that? Shekasheikadosh is Hashem keneged mashechilul. If a person does a kiddush Hashem, that can repair the chilul Hashem. And therefore, somach loy v'nigdashti. Therefore, you got in the same pasuk. V'leisachalu Hashem kodshi v'nigdashti b'seich b'nei Yisrael. Now, with all of that, we can have a better appreciation of Tisha B'Av. Let me explain why. If you look at the top of the next page, famous Mishnah in Tanis. The Mishnah says, Chamisha dvarim iru es aviseinu b'Tisha B'Av. There are five things that happened on Tisha B'Av that we commemorate. What were they? Says the Mishnah, Nigzar of Yisrael Shalei Konsularitz. It was a gezeira for the Meraglim. They came back with a bad report. We're not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. V'chorav habayis b'rishayno v'shnia, chum bayis rishon and sheni, v'nilkat v'beitar, the city of Beitar was captured and destroyed. V'nech r'shoir, and then Yerushalayim was plowed over. I'll ask you a question. Of these five things, four of them are very understandable. The Meraglim was a disaster. They came back. There was a gezeirah shel konsularitz. That means that the Dor HaBeah, who had witnessed the Makkos, had seen Mitzrayim been brought to its knees, saw Yetzias Mitzrayim, they had Matan Torah, they all had all the miracles in the Midbar, and they didn't get to the ultimate destination of Eretz Yisrael. The men they didn't make it. That was a tragedy. Chum Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni needs no explanation. The destruction of the first and second temple, where all tragedy subsequently roots back to that. The death of millions of people. The fourth is Nilka de Beitar. Beitar was the Ir Ve'en B'Yisrael. The Gemara says that not only was it the death of hundreds of thousands of people, the Gemara says there were rivers of blood flowing, if you do the cheshbon, about 3 kilometers. So it was a tragedy. But the fifth thing listed in the Mishnah in Tanis, it doesn't seem in the grand scheme of things on the same level as the first four. Nechra Shehoyeh, it was already burnt and destroyed. So they plowed it over. What was so terrible about Nechra Shehoyeh that it's listed in the Mishnah in Tanis and it's one of the five things, one of the five calamities that happened on Tisha B'Av? So I once heard a very, very beautiful explanation by Reb David Olofsky. He makes reference to a Gemara in Pesachim. Take a look at the next box, the second box in paragraph 6. The Gemara says, the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, V'holchu, this is in the say, it's the next chapter, the next period after yesterday, after Shabbos' Haftorah. V'holchu amim rabim v'omru l'chu v'na'ale al ha'ashem v'beis elokei Yaakov. We'll go to beis elokei Yaakov. Says, and then the Pasuk carries on, ki mitziyan teitzei Torah v'dvar Hashem Yerushalayim. Says the Gemara in Pesachim, V'omer b'lozo, Mai d'chsiv v'holchu amim rabim v'omru l'chu v'na'ale al ha'ashem v'beis elokei Yaakov. We're referring to the Beis HaMikdash as Beis Elokei Yaakov. Why Beis Elokei Yaakov? Elokei Yaakov lo Elokei Avram v'Yitzchok, says the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Elo, famously, Loi ka Avram shekosuv b'har. It's not the mountain that Avram Avinu described Har Abayis. Shenem asher yoyma hayom b'har Hashem yeroyah. V'loi ka Yitzchok shekosuv b'sodeh. Shenemar vayetze Yitzchok losuach basode. He referred to Har Abayis as a sode. Elok Yaakov shekoru bayis. He refers to Yaakov and called it as a house. Shenemar vayikra Hashem ha'mokom ahu beiskel. Avram called Har Abayis the mokom ha'migdash a har. Yitzchok called it a sode, and Yaakov called it a bayis. That's Rabbi Olofsky, a very geshmak idea. The har, a mountain, is only really beautiful from afar. Imagine a person goes away, Ben Azmanim now, in the holiday time. He goes away and he goes for a hike. Mountains are spectacular. But they're only really spectacular when you're quite a distance away from it. When you're on the actual mountain itself, it's just earth, it's just grass. It doesn't look so spectacular when you're actually standing on it. It's the panorama which is majestic. That is describing a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ahar. It's a relationship from a distance. It's not a close relationship. Yitzchok elevated it to a closer relationship, to a relationship of a Sodeh. What's a Sodeh? A Sodeh, back in the day, was your source of livelihood. This is your field. This is what you grow. This is your parnasa. But it's a business relationship. It's not a close, warm, intimate relationship. It's a relationship that you have with a colleague at work. A bias is an intimate relationship. You know, when sometimes you walk home, I once heard in the Shalom Bias Drasha, and the person said, sometimes you walk into your house and your kids have kicked off their shoes. And you've asked them 100 times, put them together on the side. Don't leave them as you trip over them as you walk in through the door. You should take comfort from the fact, A, that you've got a home, B, that you've got kids, and C, that they feel comfortable to kick off their shoes when they walk in the home. That it's a comfortable place. A home is an intimate relationship. It's where you feel most comfortable. The tragedy of the fifth thing of Nechra Shehoyeh is that we're relegating the relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu from a bias to a relationship of a sodom. It's a business-like relationship. The intimate, close relationship is no longer. And that really is what the Nesiv HaShalom says. The Nesiv HaShalom, in paragraph 7, he says something very beautiful. In his piece on Bein HaMetzarim, at the end of his Chelik on Sefer Bamidbar, he says the following. Look at this. Paragraph 7. Hine. Tachlis b'riaso shel Yehudi he shehoya sheyiye dovid Hashem. The ultimate mission statement, as we said before, of a Jew is to be dovid Hashem, to live with an awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives. V'zeh hoya kol inyon shabeis hamikdash. That was the primary function of a Beis Hamikdash. Shenisave HaKadosh Baruch Hu liyos ledir b'tachtonim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted a residence here in this world. Ki Beit HaMikdash Yarad Are Lokus Leilam. Through the Beit HaMikdash, a divine light came down to the world. And through that, it was disseminated into the neshamas of every Jewish person. And it was through the presence, the existence of the Beis HaMikdash, that we felt that Kirvas Elokim, that closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The mission statement of Klal Yisrael, Va'atem tiyuli mamleches kohanim v'goy kodesh, really comes down to the fact that we're living with an appreciation and awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Yirah Shemayim is. That's what Rabbi Reisman is saying. If you've got Moshe Feinstein in your car, you'll drive differently. If you feel that you recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in your life, in your office, in your home, you talk differently, you act differently. It was really the presence of the Beis HaMikdash which was able to give us that closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we lived with the proper Yirah, with the proper Yirah Shemayim. It's a very interesting thing. You know, we're now holding conflicting emotions. Tonight and tomorrow is Tisha B'Av, the saddest day of the Jewish year. Particularly now, we're living with, you know, we're following the news from Eretz Yisrael, which is the Besuros Tovos. But there's a certain heaviness in the air, this impending, the anxiety. Who knows what's going to be? It's a shame we should have Besuros Tovos. On the other hand, you know, after Tisha B'Av, you'll see, you'll be able to get parking much more easily than I got today. Yeah, the town empties out. You can even get parking outside Kosher Kingdom. Yeah, even then. Because people are going away on holiday, and it's well deserved. People need... How do you balance these seemingly conflicting emotions? I'll tell you a story that I once told you before, but it's, as Rabbi Bernstein used to say, if it's worth saying once, it's worth repeating. Gerald Halibut, who many of you know, all of us know well, Gerald Halibut lives here in the community. He told me the story. It happened to him many decades ago. He was a surveyor and he was working in the West End, and it was a Friday afternoon. He comes home, he gets on the train, finishes, leaves the office, gets on the train after a long week, and he sits down on the Northern Line, opens a safer, and he notices a non-Jewish lady gets on the train, also at the end of a long week for her, she looks exhausted. She sits down, she puts her handbag down on the empty seat next to her, and as the train moves on, she falls into this deep sleep, exhausted from her long week. And he just notices that she's fallen into a deep sleep. He's learning, reading a sefer, and then, as the train on that long stop between Hampstead and Golders Green, it emerges from the dark tunnel, and suddenly you go out into the open air. We've all been there, we've all seen it. And suddenly there's this sort of bright light which sort of startles you. That startled this lady, and she suddenly woke up, and she probably didn't know which week it was, which day it was, where she was, and it took her a few moments to come to. All of a sudden, the train had stopped in Golders Green, the doors opened, and she suddenly realized, this is my stop. She bolted, she jumped up, she ran out of the train, and just made it out in time, the doors shut, and the train started moving on, and she realized she left her bag on the train. And the last thing she saw as this train was moving off was a frum Jew, Mr. Gerald Halibut, walking over to the back. End of part one. Part two, Gerald Halibut, frum Yid, he knows he's got to try and find the owner of this bag and return it. It's Erev Shabbos, there isn't time now. He's got to get ready for shul, he's got to go to shul. It's, you know, this is many decades ago. He had detective work. How are you going to find the owner of this bag? So he makes a mental note that Motzei Shabbos after Abdullah, I'll deal with it then. He has Shabbos, Motzei Shabbos, sure enough, after Abdullah, he goes to the bag, and somehow he finds out who the owner of the bag is. He calls the lady, and he feels the relief coming down the phone line. And he says, can I return it? Yeah, with pleasure, I've been waiting for this phone call, thank you so much, where do you live? He gives her his address, and she comes around a short time later. She knocks on the door, and he's standing there with the bag, he gives her the bag, she's so grateful. And she gives him a bottle of wine. Now, if it was me, I would just thank her very much, pleasure. But he's a more insightful fellow, more perceptive. He looks at the bottle of wine, he notices that it's a kosher bottle of wine. So he says to her, tell me, where did you get this kosher wine? It's Saturday today, all the Jewish stores are shut. Listen to what she said. She said, when I saw a religious Jew walking towards my bag, I knew that she was picking it up in order to return it to me. So on Friday afternoon, I went straight to the store, which was still open, to buy a bottle of wine in anticipation of the phone call you made 20 minutes ago. That is Va'atem Tiyum Amleches Kehanim V'Goy Kaddish. You know, the Chofetz Chaim says something very geschmack. When Moshe Rabbeinu is by the snare, the Pasuk says, Shal Narecho Me'al Raglecha. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, take your shoes off. Ki Hamokam Ashata Oimed Olav Admas Kodeshu. The place upon which you are standing is holy. Says the Chofetz Chaim Al HaTeira the following. Look at the penultimate box, a geschmack idea. B'chol Mokam V'chol Zman Yochel Odom Niskar V'Boyre. A person can have that connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'chol Mokam V'chol Zman. Any place, any time. La'ovdoi V'chayim Mitzvay Sof. He's just got to make sure there's no barriers. He's got to just take the shoes off. That's what Kaddish Baruch Hu says, Shal na lecha, take your shoes off. Any place where I mention my name, it's Kaddish. You've got to just remove the barrier. It's like, you know, when you have a magnet and you have a metal next to it, it pulls towards it. But you cover the magnet with sawdust and with cotton wool and with paper, then the pull is weaker and weaker. All you got to do is shal na lecha, and then the magnet, the connection will be there. In the present tense, Koloma, b'chol makom b'chol zman, kodeshu. Every place, every time has the potential for kedusha, and it's shetzarich l'kaim es hasham na'alecha. Why does a person go on holiday? I once heard a very geshmaka thing. Shabbos mincha, we say the beautiful tefillah of ato echot, and we refer to different types of menuchas. One menucha is menuchas av on adova. You want to spend time with loved ones, with family members, with friends. Menuchas emes ve'emunah, another reason could be, you want to relax because you want to recharge the spiritual batteries. To daven a bit more slowly, to learn things you don't normally learn. Menuchas emes ve'emunah. And then there's a third reason. Menuchas sholom v'shalva v'hashkei tovetach. You want to just chill. You want to relax to recharge the physical and the emotional batteries. So there are different reasons why a person goes on holiday. Menuchas av on adava, to spend time with loved ones. Menuchas emes ve'emunah, to recharge the spiritual batteries. Menuchas sholom v'shalva hashkei tovetach, to recharge the physical, the emotional batteries. All very worthy objectives. So long as al menuchosom yagdishu eshenecha, that menucha results in a kiddush Hashem. A person goes on holiday with that intention, then his whole life is kiddush Hashem. He can achieve the kirvas elokim that really is what the Beis Hamikdash achieved. And therefore, I think it all fits in together, it's all one theme. The beginning of Sefer Devarim is the preamble, is the mission statement of Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to Klal Yisrael about Yerushalayim, and then only later tells them about mitzvahs. That is the mission statement. The mission statement of the native Indians of the University of Virginia is very different to that of Klal Yisrael. Our mission statement is, Atem Tiyum Amleches Kehanim V'Goy Kodesh. And really, Eicha is Ayeka. Where are we up to in our mission statement? Are we living up to those ideals? The hidden camera that electrician and Rabbi Reisman's episode with Moshe Feinstein, I think, reminds us that we have to live with an awareness and appreciation of our Kodesh Baruch in our lives to relegate the tragedy of Klal Yisrael of being called Nechel Sha'ir, was their hope that one day, Mitz Hashem, There'll be a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It won't be a har, it won't be a sode, it'll be like a bias. It'll be a close, intimate relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's really what the Beis HaMikdash was able to achieve. Mitz Hashem, we should hear Besuras Tovos from Eretz Yisrael. We should again have that close relationship. And still, there's time, the Yontov, that Tisha should once again be a Yontov.
Amen. Kadavi is Kadashi, Save me,